Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is The Exchange from In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Tax season is here, and certified public accountant Lynn Bozeman visits In Focus by Skype from her office at Richard Harris Ingram and Bozeman in Montgomery. The Troy graduate has served in the past as chair of the Alabama Society of Certified Public Accountants. Today, we'll talk about tax implications for businesses. Lynn Bozeman, welcome back to Troy Public Radio's The Exchange.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Lynn, we're in tax season right now. Let's start out in part one of your two-part interview, talking about businesses and corporations and what they're facing. There's a deadline tomorrow.
There is a deadline coming up for the employee retention credit. This has been a hot thing since the pandemic, and really it's just been a lifeline for so many businesses that let them take a payroll tax credit for wages paid to their employees that were employed during the pandemic during certain periods. But this area, while it has been wonderful for some and there were a lot of very legitimate claims filed, there were also quite a few that were fraudulent. The IRS penalized a lot of the ones that submitted such claims in December. There's also some blowback to the preparers of that. A lot of the businesses relied on the preparers, and some of the preparers maybe didn't exactly follow the rules that were set out. At any rate, the IRS has provided a program where you can voluntarily withdraw a claim that you filed that might potentially be fraudulent and reduce a lot of the penalties that would be associated if you are determined to have filed a fraudulent claim. And there are penalties on filing a fraudulent claim, even if you do not, in fact, receive a refund from that. So if you have concerns, check out that voluntary withdrawal program the IRS is offering, and it's only on the table until Friday, March the 22nd.
That's tomorrow. Wow. What else is happening for businesses that's big in the news?
Well, probably one of the biggest things that's just going on in tax right now is that there's this giant pending bipartisan bill that got passed by the House, and it's just sort of sitting up there and languishing in the Senate. Both the Democrats and the Republicans have issues in there that are in the bill that they won't pass, and President Biden has indicated that he would sign it if passed. It will extend the child credit, which would help families with children. And it would also reinstate bonus depreciation back to the 100% level on assets that you purchase. So for 2023, that level was 80%. You could expense 80% of qualifying purchases. And for 2024, that amount has dropped to 60%. That would really be a boon to a lot of businesses that have bought significant equipment during 2023. So a lot of our clients and some of the other ones with firms I've been hearing about are filing extensions waiting to see if that particular law passes so that they wouldn't have to amend their returns on down the line. And for families with children, some of them are extending their returns as well. If you went ahead and filed and they do pass this, the IRS has said that they will automatically refund for the child credit. You would have to file an amended return for the bonus depreciation to get corrected. And then there's also a provision in there for research and development credits if that applies for you.
Speaking of businesses, Lynn, I noticed that the Alabama legislature passed an overtime pay exemption law. This means overtime pay is exempted from taxation. How does that work? And is this for 2024 or what?
That went into place January 1st of 2024. They did start gathering some information about that during the fourth quarter of 23 filings. From a business standpoint, the businesses are going to need to track what overtime they pay to employees and how many employees were impacted by that. And they will need to include that on their quarterly payroll tax filings to the state of Alabama. There's a place when you go into My Alabama Taxes to do your payroll taxes where you enter how much overtime wages you had and how many employees that impacted, and you'll accumulate that all during the year, and they've already said where you report that on the W-2 at the end of the year. Those overtime wages are exempt from Alabama tax. For the employee, it's really just business as usual, but the record-keeping responsibility lies with the employer. So you need to be gathering that information now because your first quarter is coming up to file those payroll tax returns.
A couple of years ago, it seems like Alabama had a law permitting a pass-through entity to pay taxes for its members. What is that about?
So that's really been kind of a good thing for a lot of people. Since the feds put in some years ago a limit on how much an individual could deduct in taxes paid as an itemized deduction, they capped it at $10,000. Well, you know, if you pay a good bit of Alabama tax or you have a sizable amount of property taxes, particularly in some of the other states, then there was taxes you couldn't deduct. And also people who were not itemizing weren't getting to deduct their Alabama taxes paid anyway. So if you were a member of a pass-through entity that does business in the state of Alabama, like a partnership or an S corporation or an LLC that passes through income on a K-1, then you were having to pay all that tax yourself. But now there's an opportunity where you can make an election at My Alabama Taxes for the taxes to be paid at the entity level. So that reduces the amount of income flowing through to the owner's returns and so gives them a tax break that they weren't getting before. This has been around for a few years, but really it's becoming more widely known and widely used, I would say, in the last year or so. It came into effect in 2021, so that can be helpful to a lot of people.
And Lynn, I noticed that part of the U.S. Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network has a new format that you have to fill out as a business.
That is a big topic this year. It's called the Business Ownership Information Reporting System, and it's through FinCEN, which you mentioned, which is U.S. Treasury, but this is not part of the tax filing. CPAs or tax preparers are kind of coming down on different sides of this issue. Some of them just are not doing it as part of a tax filing. Some of them are doing it only upon request. You'll need to log into the Department of Treasury to the FinCEN reporting website. There are 23 different types of businesses that are exempt. Insurance companies and banks are exempt from this reporting, but all small businesses pretty much are going to have to do this unless you're an exempt entity. So you'll want to check into this. And the key thing here is that if you were formed before the beginning of 2024, then you have to do this filing by January 1 of 25. If you formed during 24, then you've got a fairly short time period, 90 days, to get this filing done. And every time that you make a change to your entity, and this applies to sole owner LLCs, multi-owner LLCs, partnerships, S corporations, and C corporations, every time you make any change to your business, like an owner change, an address change, or any changes to the formation documents, you're going to need to go in here and update this DOI reporting. And so that's going to be a hard thing to remember to do.
Why are the penalties so stiff?
I think that part of this is they're looking for money laundering and financing of terrorism. They're really wanting you to be darn sure that you get this filing done and that you get it done timely. The penalties are $500 a day up to $10,000 and up to 2 years in prison. So they're not playing with this. But right now, the law of the land is that this DOI reporting is in place and you must do it.
Now, the state, what about the Secretary of State's office? Do they have to be updated regularly like this?
Yes. To remain in good standing in the state of Alabama, you're supposed to do an annual reporting with the Secretary of State, and there's a $10 fee that goes with that. So now you need to log in to the Secretary of State website. It's really a super easy filing. So it's like name and address of the business and all of its officers. And it probably won't take 10 or 15 minutes, and you pay the little $10 fee online, and you're done for the year.
Well, you have given us some very important tips today for businesses, and I want to thank you for part one of your two-part interview. We'll get together again for next Thursday and talk about individual taxes.
That sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
Joining us by Skype was CPA Lynn Bozeman. She is a partner with Richard Harris Ingram and Bozeman of Montgomery and is past chair of the Alabama Society of Certified Public Accountants. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.